Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what the hell? What's the title of this thing? No title again? I'm that lonely, the lady.
Is it rolling, Bob?
I think it needs to value the contracted workforce more. It's not clear to me at this point whether it's Facebook itself that doesn't value them or it's the contracted companies that aren't executing on the promises that they made to Facebook when they signed the contract with the company. But either way, Facebook needs to ensure that those contracted companies are delivering even more emotional support to those individuals.
Olivia, thanks so much for your insights.
Thanks very much.
Okay, good time to fade out. That's just the end of a show with Nora Young, wonderful person, writer. Her voice is just so perfect. We've met Nora Young through our podcasting groups long ago, you know, when we had more ties, I guess, with CBC. But anyway, this was about the Facebook moderators, the people have to go through and look at or filter out, you know, animal cruelty, beheadings, you know, torture, horrible things. And really the storyline was what a horrible job this is and how people come down with almost post-traumatic stress that just by if this is what you're doing, you're the first person. It's like you hear a lot of police who have to look at pornography, child pornography to, you know, find the guilty parties, rescue the children, anything like that, when you're seeing the horror of what humans do to each other and to animals. Oh, my God. I could not handle it for a minute, you know, at all. And I, you know, I mean, I think it's needed. You just don't want this stuff out there. You know, it's a fine line of where you draw it, but it's very clear, you know. Killings, deliberate killings, and I'd say even public executions, anything like that, should not be shown. I guess, you know, it sort of comes down to, okay, what's your culture? Where are you from? What's your background? Because I'm sure if you had a vote, if they had some, what, I'll put air quotes, sex pervert, somebody who's been molested children, and they were going to execute him, I'm sure there'd be a lot of people would say, yes, I want to see it. You know, particularly the families of the children or other people involved, relatives. There'd be a lot voting in favor. Yes, put it up there and let me have access to it. And, you know, because it's not that long ago. You had your witch dunkings, your public hangings, your burning at the stake. Oh, yeah. You really want to think we've come a long way? But it's so easy to say, no, we're just doing it in different ways. You know, when you drop cluster bombs, when you drop napalm, you're doing the same horrific acts. It's just coming from an airplane or somewhere else. You don't have to stick around and watch it. Ooh, what a start to the show. Man, oh, man. I didn't know that was going to happen. But this is the nature of the Dixon Janes podcast, or your host anyway, the Scarborough Dude, coming to you for episode number 624. 624 was my address in Lachine on 48th Avenue. So, I'm waiting to get here. Maybe I should make it about home. What that means. Home was yesterday when I drove up and there was Yuki, or Shiro, our little white cat, sitting on the chair that we have outside the door. We got a table and a chair right at the door. And it was just such a beautiful sight to drive in, and there she is waiting, and she knows enough, don't run into the driveway and there's a car coming in, she'll just sit there and wait. And then she jumps off the chair and rolls over on the concrete where it's cool and asks you to rub her belly. And then, of course, as soon as you crack open the door, boom, she's in straight for the food dish. This morning she came in and she had her food. She had been out all night, of course, which she's fond of. I bothers me, but hell. At least this morning I didn't get woken up at 4 because she was already out. Anyway, she didn't get back till about 10 or so in the morning. And I worry, of course. Anyway, has her food, and then just straight upstairs to my bed, where I always have my pajamas and a t-shirt laid out for her to make her little nest on and lie down. And I'm telling you, and I've told you, I don't know how many podcasts now, apologies if you're just not a cat lover or understander of what pets can mean, because this applies to dogs too, to curl up with your pet and lie there and feel the warmth. And in the case of a cat, Yuki is starting to purr now more loudly. She didn't purr much for her first year, but I think she more and more realizes what a good thing she's got. And just to put your head on them and hear that purring, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's one way of talking about home. I just released episode number 623, and it went 15 minutes over because I was listening to other people's shows and included comments. And I did put links up on my blog for them. I won't mention them again this time because, hey, you had your turn. I'm at the cemetery. I was going to say St. Martin's. St. Paul's, what is this one? The one I always come to, St. Andrew's, here in Scarborough. It's beautiful. It's full of maple trees, and the sunlight is just catching them, and it comes alive, and it is nice to see trees full of life over these attractive and interesting assortment of gravestones. Yeah. So, what's our topic? We didn't really have a topic. I just wanted to get started again, which I often do after I've put out the podcast, which I just did this morning, June 7th. Yeah, I need to get started another one. It's like a broken link in the chain. I need to forge another link to the past, to the present, to the future, and that's what this is. I just had my blood test. Wow, it was wonderful. You got to go. There's a pay for parking. There's a doctor's office where my doctor is. And I'd run out of meds, called. And I'm just telling you this because the service is so good here in Ontario. We are so fortunate. I just called Shoppers Drug and said, hey, I'm low on these meds. Oh, okay, well, we got to call the doctor on that one. We'll call you right back. And of course, the next day, they called me back. Spoke to your doctor. You need to see him before we can reissue this particular medication, which I think was for blood pressure. Okay. So call the doctor. Great. You can see him tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. And I said, yeah, but I haven't had the blood test yet. Oh, all right. Well, have your blood test and come next week. So I go upstairs, and sure enough, I keep one folder of all my medical stuff handy and pull out the sheet that he gave me way back when for blood tests to have done in May, and it's only June now, so I'm just a little bit late. But there you are. Okay, I got the paper signed by the doctor, ready to go. Drive into the same building where he is. It's $3 for the first half hour and under for parking. Great, want to get this done quickly. I go in. I'm the only one. Blood tests in, out, in just like under 5 minutes. By the time I gave my card, sat in a chair, had the blood sample taken and labeled, and bam, out I go. So fast that when I went and exited the parking, said no charge. It was like under probably a 10-minute or 15-minute thing. So it was just, wow, this is great, this kind of service. Shoppers Drug Mart says, well, if you do run out before your appointment, we're allowed to, you know, give you a few pills to tide you over. This kind of service, when you think of Syria, for example, or any African nation where you can't even get aspirin for your baby. How fortunate we are in this world. And it stems from, oh boy, uh-oh. Well, the values we were founded on. You know, bam, you came over and you worked hard and everybody did their job. And I'm talking about my own ancestors being farmers originally, the Bowl family anyway, when they went out to Pembroke and bought the land and gradually raised a family and got people educated, and on it went. And people did what they were supposed to do, obeyed the rules and helped fashion the rules. I've even got a Bowl who was somewhere in Parliament for one term. I haven't yet found out the direct connection, but it's not a common name. Anyway, which is not to say, oh, you can thank the white people, but hey, it was Scottish, Irish, English. Originally, we're talking 100, 150, 200 years ago, okay? So anyway, I'm just fortunate and blessed to live in a country with all the benefits that we have here in Canada, and it is our duty, each and every one of us living here, to give something back, to contribute somehow, to continue to make it great, and show our gratitude. On that note, I think in the last podcast I was bragging... Oh, I don't have the bell, damn it, sorry. About the things I've done, you know, that buying a one-way ticket to Japan, heading off to Nigeria, and you know, sort of saying, well, I did it, but, you know, acknowledging I was lucky for the time I was born, the country I was born in, and so on. But I also neglected to say that it's also because I had an older brother and sister, and I didn't have parents I had to look after. And there's a lot of other people out there who would love to have had the freedom of choice that I've had, and couldn't for one reason or another. Now, I didn't get any girl pregnant in high school or college. That freed me up. You know, I paid for my university by working every summer. Fortunate for me, I could get the jobs, but I mean, I worked to get that job. So I didn't have debt. And again, mostly it was just the times. Hey, man, tune in, turn on, drop out, do your own thing. And that's what I did. But I'm only saying this because if I made it sound easy, like, why aren't you doing that? Well, it's because of a lot of other people. Have other responsibilities, things they have to do. And I know now, of course, the times have changed. People are worried about, well, how am I going to buy a house? And what about my mortgage? And this and that and security. And oh, my God. I can't just think of dropping out and drifting the way you did, picking up a job anytime you wanted one, whatever city you want to live in. That was then, man. This is now. And now isn't so easy. And I think that is true. But I just do simply wish that each and every one of you special snowflakes out there, live the life you want to live and fulfill your own destiny, if you want to call it that, or just be the person you need to be, want to be, dream to be, hope to be, and, you know, doing whatever is necessary, and that there just aren't too many roadblocks in your way, and those roadblocks that are there, you find a way to deal with them. So I'm going to stop there because otherwise it's going to turn into, I'm going to flip this on its head and I'll end up bragging again, and I'm just trying to diffuse that particularly, you know, tense little thing I think I created by suggesting anybody can do whatever you want. I know it's not quite true. All right. That's it. I'm going to go back, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I had a productive morning with work. I feel guilty because I'm not doing exercise anymore. I should get on my bike, go for a ride. But, you know, hey, I did a lot of work this morning, and I had my blood test done. I lined up my doctor's appointment, and can't I just have the rest of the day off? Maybe, maybe not. Talk to you later. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
Okay, it's time. It's time for me to give you what I caught myself. It's a very contagious disease. And if you wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning and you fall out of bed, you start stomping your foot to try to get up, you look around for an old black cowboy hat, you look in the mirror and your eyes are crossing on you, and you start laughing at yourself. You know, you got a very familiar kind of a disease that I've had for some time. I caught it from a fellow that joined the mule train in the old days, and he found out he was allergic to something the mules had. He had an awful bad case of the mule Skinner blues that I'd like to pass on to you tonight. Good morning, Captain. Good morning to you, sir. They need a mule skinner. Woo! Down on your new mud run. Wah, 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 wah.
Because the spinoff, which we've talked about on this podcast before.
Yes, you brought it up on the episode we had, one of the episodes we had Tom Merritt on.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan.
Oh. Yeah. In fact, I remember Tom saying after we talked about that show that he wanted to have a shower.
Yes.
Yeah, this was a really, really weird cartoon where it tried. Like, so it's racial stereotypes beyond belief.
Yes.
But also, so. And some of them even positive stereotypes, like one of the kids an engineering student, which is like,
yeah.
It's kind of an interesting one. And he had a magic, they had a magic van, he could push a button and it would just turn into different things. It was kind of had that Wonder Twins angle to it. And they're solving crimes, and of course, because it's the Hanna-Barbera, it's a Hanna-Barbera joint, because of that, there are 16 episodes and the kids have a band.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. See, here's the thing. They took a lot of the Asian stereotypes and put them into Hong Kong Phooey.
Yes.
However, that being said, you never knew. The Hong Kong Phooey rode the line in so many ways because with Scatman Crothers doing the voice, you're thinking to yourself, wait a sec.
What, did he grow up in the south side of Hong Kong?
Which cultural appropriation are we dealing with here? Yes.
And it is a dog, after all. So you're sort of confused and it doesn't bother you as much.
I don't know if somebody's going to resign from the walrus for this, but I mean...
Jesus. Now, there's a... See, that's great right now, and somebody listening to this in 5 years or something, if you are, yeah, do some Googling. We're not going to help you. We're not going to help you.
That's not the Beatles song.
That will be a great poll 5 years from now.
Yes. I might have to resign from the walrus for that. I'm going to start using that. I'm going to start putting that into my rotation.
Actually, that is a pretty good line.
If I remember,
thank you, Anthony. And of course, here I'm listening to it fresh, and therefore I do get the reference. Cultural appropriation. Yes, Brent and I were supposed to talk about that on a Gappage episode, but I have the feeling by the time Brent and I get together to do a Gappage and get a talk or two into us, I don't think we're going to be sticking to any one topic. Oh, and yeah, of course, we'd be better off if we saved our talks till after we recorded an episode, but we'll see. Anyway, that in case you are from a different universe and don't know, was a podcast called Best Episode Ever. And you can Google that and find all the characters who take part. It's been running for a long time, and it's always interesting. It takes me back... so many of the shows I didn't watch, and I've said this time and again, why am I telling you again? But I am, because sometimes I think, maybe I got a new listener. I just didn't watch. I mean, I was away. I wasn't at TV. TV wasn't as big a part of our lives. And we only had one TV in the house, and that was my father's TV. And there was no remote control, so he didn't sort of jump when something boring came on.
And you sat so far away from this black and white screen. It was not the viewing experience. What we did watch, my brother and I always watched Dusty Boyd and his Chuck Wagon Tales on Saturday mornings. Well, I do remember Howdy Doody, and I do remember, of course, as a kid in Valleyfield when we had our first TV, early 1950s, of course, the beloved Captain Kangaroo, and all that went on that show. I mean, I grew up with that, but so much of what these guys, being, you know, 10, 20 years younger, talk about just has just no relevance to me at all. But it's still a good show anyway. They're entertaining podcasters. Oh, boy. That's a nice looking... Yeah, never mind. I'm at Bluffers Park. I haven't recorded here from so long. I've only got a short time because my wife wants the car back. She sent me off on an errand today. One I'm happy to make was to get a weed whacker type thing. I saw some on sale, regular $100 on sale for, $44.97 or something. I'm a real sucker. If I see something and it looks like the price was $100 and it's on for less than half price, I want that one. If I see another one that might be just as good, like the one I bought was $69.99 on sale for $49.99 because the $44.97 ones were all sold out in the two stores I went to, Canadian Tire. I feel, well, it's not as good a deal. It may be just as good a piece of hardware equipment. It's all done by Works or Yardworks. So not only did I get that, the weed whacker, electric, you know, plug-in, not battery, chargeable stuff, but I also got an electric trimmer. Hedge trimmer, because the one I had is not working either, and I just have to promise my wife, yes, I'll put those out in the garbage now that we have new ones, so she'll be pleased, and I haven't opened it yet. I'll save that for later. I finally got a hand spinner. Ooh, work, class, or home. These are on sale for $4.97 at Canadian Tire, and I just had to get one. Don't know how they work. Don't know if I could do it with just here we go. Oh, come on, what do you do? Not working? You gotta spin? You gotta do it yourself? How do you work these things? Okay, I don't know. Maybe there is something to it that I've gotta learn. I thought you just pushed the button and the thing spun, but. Ugh. Took me a while to learn the hula hoop, too, so. Anyway, I got it actually as a gift for my son, who had his first shift yesterday. Went in and had to join the boys washing dishes just as part of his training. And he said, that is one tough job I don't think I could do, but he's delighted with his job. And, of course, that makes my wife and I very, very happy. I told you last episode, I don't like to go too much into detail on family stuff, in particular for my wife and number two son, because they are both very Japanese and very private. Although, I mean, I can't say my son is very Canadian. There's a part of him, the sensitive part, is Japanese, and the part that, you know, is a little bit of pride, and he just would not want me talking about him, so I can only say I love him, I'm proud of him, I'm proud to be a dad. I know sometimes I get very squeamish when people post on Facebook things about their kids, and I go, oh, come on. What's the big deal? I graduated from high school. So fucking what? Everybody does, you know. But anyway, parents, it's wired into us. We've got to be proud of our kids. So anyway, all that aside, why am I talking to you? Well, today's Saturday, June what? Oh, I don't have my iPhone. I'm naked. I forgot to load it up. It doesn't really matter. Gee, maybe I wonder if my iPad actually tells the time. I mean, my little what do you call these things? iPod. The one with the cracked glass and, 11:27 on June the 10th. Coming up on Father's Day. Yesterday, Friday, I had one of the best Fridays ever. And I guess I kind of wanted to share that with you because, really, this podcast is probably not much more than a personal journal. I mean, I toss in reflections and I rant about stuff here and there, and I try to be humorous sometimes. I'm not very good at it, but I do. Like, here's my sense of humor. Brent, the closet geek, posted a picture of himself with a new haircut. I didn't think it was particularly a good one, but everybody else seemed to think so because he got lots of likes and lots of comments. Looking good, dashing, cool, nice one, you know. Lots and lots of comments just from posting a picture of a haircut. But he's sitting in front of the O and the Toronto sign right downtown Toronto at, you know, Nathan Phillips Square. It's quite obvious. You see City Hall and the Toronto sign. He's sitting there, and I posted the comment, nice haircut. Or nice picture. Where was it taken? To me, this is very funny. It's like when I was in Vancouver, they had a 12 o'clock siren. They used to on top of the old BC Hydro building. And at noon every day, you got the first four bars of O Canada. Very loud. You heard it throughout downtown Vancouver. And I would always ask whoever I was with, if I was with somebody at the time, I would always turn to them and say, have you got the time? And invariably, they would look at their watch. And I would laugh. You know, hey, asshole, didn't you just hear the 12 o'clock siren? And then I did the same thing for the 9 o'clock gun they fired in Stanley Park. So that's my kind of humor, and I understand if other people don't find it really funny. There's something really stupid about it. But anyway, was that what we're going to do? I was talking about... No, I have a different topic altogether, I think. this being a personal journal... podcasting, I've just got a jumble of topics, and I'm only going to spit out a few and then move on. I got to go home. The other one was about personality, and I find through this podcasting community, and I've been doing this, you know, hey, we're going on 12 years, I guess, of being a podcaster. I've always said this was about me discovering myself, and through these reflections, through the things I say, the stories I tell, the questions I ask, it's helping me identify, well, who are you? What are your values? I just mentioned the humor part of it. And there was always a struggle because I was doing this under the persona of the Scarborough dude who seemed to be different from Ken. And I was wanting to think that Ken was a nice guy and the Scarborough dude was a bit of a jerk, but that's okay because that's my role in this community. And now I'm beginning to think, well, really, I am really am the Scarborough dude, but maybe it just depends on where you are. For example... When I go lawn bowling, I don't have a personality. I'm Ken Boyle. They always get it wrong, Ken Bowl. And I don't have to put a personality forward. There's no need to be anybody. You're only there to join in a game of lawn bowling. I stick around for the cup of tea after the game in the evening. That's always really nice. The tea tastes so good. And it's pleasant, and they make announcements, and sometimes you get money back. I played Jade. Was it Tuesday? And put in a dollar and got $2 back because our team won. And Friday, I was getting on what a great day Friday was. I know it's a jumble, but sometimes it all threads together. Friday, I finally bowled decently again. I didn't necessarily get a lot of points for our team, but I cut down the points the other team was getting by being second closest to the jack. And that, you know, if you're not, then they just keep getting points depending on how many balls they have closest to the jack. Two teams, four players each. Great fun, great fun. I showed up a little late, and they said, Ken, join us. We're one person short. And it was just perfect timing. Great exercise, 10 ends, partly in the rain. An interesting mix of people. A little bit of multiculturalism there. Certainly a lot of Chinese people, always. I'm never too happy when the Chinese people speak Chinese to each other because you know nobody else can join in. You don't know what they're saying. And it may be personal stuff. They're just, you know, between games. And I guess that's their business and certainly they're right. But it's odd. Like, you wouldn't... All the other people have integrated, the Greeks and Italians and, you know, they're not going to do that. They're going to be speaking English. And it's only the Chinese who have come a little later and in greater numbers... and maybe with a stronger sense of, you know, although they're Hong Kong, Cantonese speaking, still there's a sense that, hey, there's enough of us, we can just speak Chinese. It's not a big deal to me. It's not something I'm going to harp about, but I do find it, oh, okay, well, I'm probably not going to sit with those people because then I would be interfering on their right to hold their conversation in Chinese. It was always a problem teaching at Centennial College because the Chinese would just simply group together. And they were the police, a little cart. The Chinese would group together and nobody else could get past that wall they erected. And I always pointed that out to them, but it didn't change much. And then they complained their English conversation skills were lacking. Okay, so what else were we talking about? We're talking about what a great day it was Friday. So I did a lot of work in the morning. I got stuff done, like report to Japan, updated some important data I needed to do for the, you know, the coming tour in July. Confirmed a booking University of Toronto tour and lots of stuff. And then had a lot of fun on social media, just teasing. I do like social media. I do handle it well. I you know, a lot of people, I really do, I forget the word for it, curate my Facebook page. I really choose what's going up there. And with a purpose, and it's like I have ownership of it, and I love it. And it's like today I posted pictures, 10 years friendship with Cat of the Catfish Show, and then today 10 years friendship with Adam Greatrix, and a wonderful picture of Adam and Bob. Well, I really wanted to put that up because we just got back from Kingston celebrating Bob's life and friendship. So it just seemed very, very fitting. And by the way, I'm in the boat launch parking area because damn it. That stupid little pub that seems to have somehow got ownership of the parking lot, the Cat parking lot, Cat side. Now that it's summer, they post a guy there under an umbrella and put up a barricade, and you got to pay $7 or something to park unless you're eating at their restaurant. It just sucks. It's the best parking lot, the best view of Lake Ontario here, and you can't get at it. It just... It should be city land. Hey, fuck you. How did you guys get that deal? And how petty can it be? I know you're raking in money. But Jesus Christ, that's awful. Anyway, sorry. Friday. Continued on. I watched a great movie with Jeff Bridges. I always liked Jeff Bridges. And he played a part of a retiring sheriff making fun of his sidekick, who might have been Native American and part Mexican. These are the jokes he was telling, and they're really offensive jokes, and I won't tell you what happened. And two young guys robbing banks to pay off the mortgage, you know, from the greedy bankers. So it was all, the political slant was great. You know, the bankers are the thieves. It used to be the cavalry, you know, wiped out the Indians. Now it's the bank taking over and taking our land from us. The banks were the enemy, clearly, of this movie. It was very well done. Just a great little picture. Not one you'd want to necessarily pay a lot of money to see in a theater. But at home on Netflix, wow, what a great picture. And then a couple of Twilight Zones after that. So all in all, a great day. Plus, my son going in for a shift. And oh, my God. Everything's coming up roses. I just felt so happy Friday. I had such a great day. So there you are. Oh, also, in a considerable napping time in the back of the road trek as well. You know, and listening to podcasts and so on. So just a day you felt well spent, but you felt grateful. You felt, hey, I'm relatively healthy, you know, and everything is going well. So, and today seems to be going in the same direction. I'm going to meet John Meadows tonight at the Eaton House and Rick Weiss, or Richard Weiss, I believe he's called now. Anyway, all of which is to say, I really don't have much to say other than rant on a little bit about my charmed and enjoyable and very fortunate life. So let's get back to listening to these guys, and I'll fade out now. All right, and I'll be back later on.
In Australia, they actually had Asian actors and voice actors and actresses. Yeah.
And then in the American version, they had redubbed it, and Jodie Foster played Anne Chan.
The big thing about it, big step forward for racial stereotypes. Yes. That's I believe Neil Armstrong said that when he got on the moon. he said that Charlie Chan stopped talking, like he started using definite articles, things like that. Like he started speaking grammatical English, which is a big change because Charlie Chan didn't speak grammatically correct English ever in the serials and in the old show either.
One of the voice actors.
I used to love the old Charlie Chan movies.
Lenny Weinrib, who played H.R. Puffinstuffles, the voice of H.R. Puffinstuff, and was also the original voice of Scrappy Doo.
Oh, God. Scrappy Doo. Jesus.
I hated Scrappy Doo.
So did I. God.
Everybody hated Scrappy Doo. You couldn't like Scrappy Doo. So, let's go.
Jimmy, my heart is full of love, only true love, and its wisdom and visions are you.
There's no returning.
Jimmy, there's words unspoken and unbroken, only you can ensure everlasting.
His love is you.
Jimmy, I would like to drive your car. It don't matter how long, how far. Jimmy, you can have my love. Sure will sing, Jimmy, you can have my loving heart and keep it all.
Jimmy, you only knew all that I feel for you, you wouldn't question me with a doubt.
Jimmy, my heart is full of love, only true love, and its wisdom and visions are you.
There's no returning.
Jimmy, there's words unspoken, unbroken, only you can ensure everlasting.
Love is you.
Jimmy, I would like to drive your car. It don't matter how long, how far. Jimmy, you can have my loving heart and keep it all.
Good afternoon, folks. It is, it's probably about 5 or so on Sunday. Sunday afternoon. What date is it? Oh, damn it. June the something or other. 11th. And, I was out last night. I think I mentioned in a previous clip. To meet John and Rick at the Eden House. Saw the band Baca, B-A-C-A, a trio of women. No Spring Chickens amongst them. And wow, were they ever good. Now, I've got to tell you, I did help myself to half a cookie, a Vancouver cookie, before I went in. And it kicked in, you know, sort of, I think I ate a quarter and then the other quarter once I was settled in the bar. The Eaton House on Danforth. It is not officially part of the Danny because it's still part of Greektown. Hey, the Danny. I'm so disturbed by that name. I really felt last night that I wanted to get a journalism student from, you know, Ryerson or Eden Centennial somewhere to research who came up with this idea. What was the vote? Why did they feel the need to name a portion of the Danforth, the Danny. It stinks as a name. And I'd just like to know more about it. And the more the weed high sort of kicked in, the more it bothered me. Like, hey, this is nuts. So anyway, I'll try not to give it any more publicity than it deserves. It doesn't deserve any publicity. It's a horrible marketing campaign. God. So anyway, I nursed the beer and I drank slowly, but Rick left. He had another party to go to, being a youngster himself, and that was good. I heard in the end he had a wonderful time, and then John left because John had an early morning flight to get him back to Calgary, where he's got to be for the next 2 weeks for his job. Poor John. Should be retired on full pension, but is not there yet. And that left just me, nursing my Guinness. So I had my 4 pints in total, enjoyed the music. The second set came on, and I just decided that would be a good time to go. However, I got it in my head, why not stop in at the Only for a pint on the way home? Now, I normally like to limit myself to 4 pints, especially if I've taken some other herbal medicines. But this is just something I couldn't resist. I mean, it's all my own. Everybody else deserted me. The subway station is right at the Only. There's no harm. And I was only going to go in for half a pint. And, of course, I walk in. Hey, Ken, how are you doing? What can I get for you? This nice, friendly, warm welcoming. And I said, well, you know, I've already had 4 pints. I really should only have a half, and I don't know whether I should get a full one or, oh, you can handle it, you know. And sure enough, ordered another pint. It was a very good one. And got talking to a couple of women who came in. It seemed like all the guys wanted to hit on them as soon as they arrived. Well, that's not true. No, one person tried to get them to join him out in the deck in the back, and I just minded my own business, but I got to talking to the woman who was of Indian heritage, and had actually a very enjoyable talk. And as I left, she said, well, you know, something like, how could I reach you? I probably may have mentioned, I'm pretty sure I didn't say I was a celebrity. In fact, I know darn well I didn't. But I did may have mentioned that if you want to hear more of my wisdom, I do a podcast, something along that line. Somehow got it into her head that she should ask me how to find me. And I said, well, just Google Scarborough Dude and you'll find me. So she would be one in a string of people I've met, mostly at the Only Cafe, who I've let it be known how they could find me in my podcast, and not once ever. I mean, I have a perfect, perfect track record. Not once ever has anybody ever contacted me afterwards, say, hey, listen to your show. I'm going to be a regular subscriber now. Thank you. Glad to have met you at the bar last night or whatever. It just doesn't happen. Never. So, you know, I mean, I don't feel bad about it. The thing is, this podcast, I think it's of more interest to people who know me and meet me in real life and will have a beer with me. And you know, it's sort of a continuation of my journey. And often I'll talk about the people I hang out with and so on. So it's sort of better if there's an in-real-life context to the thing. And if somebody out there was listening and never heard before, has no idea who this guy, Ken the Scarborough Dude, is, you know, there are more interesting shows out there. Thank you very much. So that's it. Okay. God damn, this is still a warm-up. I'm thinking this might be the last clip. I'm sitting in the front seat of the road track, windows open. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday. I told you I had booked a campsite for Tuesday, the one day it's supposed to rain. Don't know why I chose to do that, but I felt I needed to get away one night, and this is the closest. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I should cancel it altogether. I still got work and shit to do. But we'll see. So the plan is that I'll finish off this podcast maybe today so that I can start a fresh one from the campsite and give you something just from a taste of, you know, what it'll be like when I make my cross-Canada trip. I'm a little concerned about that. Like, first of all, I'll be traveling with Barnacle Bill from Edmonton for who knows how many weeks. And, you know, he doesn't take very kindly to podcasting, and I don't know if I'd be wanting to kick him out. Well, go sit outside in the woods while I record an episode, you know. But he's not the kind of guy I could do it in front. I don't think it'd be comfortable for him or for me. And then there's the thought, well, hey, I'm not going to have internet access. I don't do podcasts even on my iPad. You know, how am I even going to put them out there? Should I go back to Boss Jock? Part of me wants to record this. Hey, it's going to be a fun trip, the road to Yellowknife. That could be a good series of podcasts. Who knows what adventures or misadventures I'll stumble into or drive into. So I've got to find a solution. Here's the worst part of it, okay? There's a part of me that's thinking about, gee, there's new iPad Pros out there. There's cheap MacBooks. There's the MacBook Air, which I've never had. You know, that's only about $1,000. Should I just go out and buy another computer? And I don't really need it. I've got full-fledged iMac on my desk. I've got my iPad and my iPhone that helped me fine. I don't really need it. But there's a part of me, and especially the part that says, yeah, but it's a business expense, and it's you got the money from the tour this year. Spend $1,000, get yourself something new, thinking maybe that will help me, you know, assemble the podcast in GarageBand or whatever. I just don't know if that's logical or just me wanting to spend money. You know, sometimes you just want to buy things. It's wicked, it's bad, it's evil, it's nasty, but it's still there in me. Ooh, something new. Ooh, that would be fun. Ooh, a shiny new toy. Okay. Anyway, I went to church today. It is Sunday. I went, and I sat in the back on a sofa, and it was so nice. I figured, okay, I'm a little late last night. I did have my 5 pints. I don't regret going there. And I mean, hey, I still meted up and made it to church on time. But they had a sofa in the back, and there's one lady who sits there all the time by herself, and she's kind of interesting, you know, a real character, older than me, but who's had an interesting life, you know, commuted between Toronto and New York when she was quite young. There's a lot of people with life stories that are quite interesting. But anyway, sat beside her. I stopped at Big Whopper for my 80-cent coffee, which is quite decent, and just sat in the back of the church. And when it was time to get up and mingle and shake hands and greet people, I didn't even get up. I just sat there and chatted with people afterwards when we have a coffee and dessert after the service. Greta wasn't there. Scott took it over, and it was all about meaning, the meaning of life. And I guess what Scott changed it to was he scratched out the meaning of life and turned it into meaningfulness in life. The conclusion being there is no meaning to life. There is no one big answer out there. And this is quite something to be getting from church, you know. It's not God has a plan for each and every one of you. This is there's no meaning. But one quote from Joseph Campbell, which I think is a very good one, that in the handout that Scott gave us, life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning, and we bring it to life. It is a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. So that's Joseph Campbell. And I think that's quite a good one. Another one, or maybe it's Scott's. There is no meaning outside of us. We are the meaning makers for our own lives. Anything can mean something. Choosing the meaning you want to make is everything. Choosing the meaning you want to make. And that fits with my philosophy on life, that, you know, we make the meaning. Of course, he quoted Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. Anais Nin is a good quote, an opener. There is not one big cosmic meaning for all. There is only the meaning we each give to our life, an individual meaning, an individual plot, like an individual novel, a book for each person. That's pretty good. And I do really think of myself, my life, in terms of a book. It's the only way I can look at it, with its various chapters. And here's the thing, and you've heard it before on this podcast, and It really heated up maybe a couple of years ago when I was talking about, gee, maybe I'll make a comic book of my life, make a story. And I was doing everything to avoid the issue of writing that book. And came up to the conclusion, no, I don't have the, it's not stamina, I don't have the discipline, would be one thing. I've erased the tape that says, you are lazy, you are lazy, you are lazy. I'm not lazy. I just prioritize in a way that suits me. And the things I like doing get done, and the things I don't really feel like doing just don't get done. Or just stay at the bottom of the list. But the idea of, okay, well, write those stories. See, these stories, they'll come up during every day. Suddenly I'll remember something that happened, say, in the wheel bay of the Point St. Charles Yards in Montreal when I worked for the railway during the summers. And that's just, it's just so rich to me. And then I think of all the characters, Big Billy Duncan, you know, and Del Beck, and Marcel Geoffroy, Monsieur Laporte, and these people. I can still picture today, 30, 40 years ago, how much that meant to me, working with French Canadians and Italians and others in the Point St. Charles Yards, La Pointe. Interesting working class neighborhood of Montreal, which is now, you know, closed down, of course, and they begin to spruce up what was considered a poor neighborhood. It's quite beautiful now. But that'd be one example of, like, one piece. And then maybe a memory from Prince George, and then another memory from Japan, another memory from Nigeria, and all the rich texture from the chapters that have been my life. And I don't want to get to the point where I can't recall them anymore. They're all confused or it's just a muddle. I still have the mental capacity to recall these stories and somehow put them in some kind of a story form. Not in your traditional storytelling sense, but just in terms of relating the experience. It never goes away, this need to lay down a record of my life. I think I even left Japan out of that last set of memories. Holy shit, all the memories from Japan, the things. And it's, you know, there's just a lot there. And the last time I thought I was closest to finding the solution was when I thought, okay, the road trek is the answer now. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on these long solo drives. And while I'm driving, I'm going to record a story as if I'm talking to Sally, whoever Sally is. And I've gone through a number of Sallys. I've gone through Sally from the man who's crazy and has kidnapped a little girl. And, of course, that's dark. Sorry. It's not what I want to do. But just, he's apologetic. He's trying to explain his life and prove, look, I'm really a nice guy. Sally could be a daughter from a marriage he's walked away from something. Sally could be a woman who was kidnapped and tied up in the back of this road track. I know all these are dark, and it's not a place I want to get to. I'm just looking for a vehicle so that I have a reason to tell the story, because I can't tell it to you, the Dixon Janes listeners. It's just not working for me, because me always comes through this me, the one you're hearing now, and I can't separate you and suddenly say, okay, here I am again, except now I'm pretending I don't know you. You're an unseen audience. You are the readers of this. So the idea is, okay, you tell the story orally and then have it transcribed and see how that works. And then you can do the editing once you've got the, you know, the print version there, or the, you know, the words down somehow that you can sort of rearrange them and fix it up. But just start by telling the story. And the thing is, I'm still looking for that proper way of telling the story. Like, what's the framework? What's the structure? What's the point? Why am I telling the story? And it always comes back to, or so far, justification for my life. Trying to rationalize it. Trying to explain. Maybe trying to make sense of it. Trying to find meaning in it. What is it leading me towards? And you need that to tell a story, to write a story. You need an overall structure and framework, so that you can go through it. And I just still am not clear on how to do that. And the fact is, when I do, for example, Tuesday, head off to this campground, I'm just going to want to get a little bit high and just listen to some music and chill and have fun. I don't want to do the work of having to make a podcast, a story, you know. I just don't know. So anyway, I'm going to leave it there. That's enough. I wanted to share that with you to let you know I'm still struggling with this. And if anybody, like the people who are creative on their own, people like properly spelled Jason, although the other Jason, I understand, is a writer as well, and you have some ideas for me, shoot them my way, please, because I do need help. You know, my son at one point, elder son out in Vancouver, when I started telling him stories when we were in Bali together over dinner, Dad, I need to know these stories. Like I was telling him the story of the marriage, the elopement, stories he just didn't know. He can't imagine about his parents, you know, us hitchhiking around Sado Island. Wow, Sado Island in Japan, what a place, what an incredible time. And I guess the thing that alarms me a little is these images are still so vivid. When I call back, when I said Sado Island, I see the pictures. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm just worried about the day when it all starts to fade and run together and just doesn't make sense anymore. And so this story has to be told before then. So I'll leave it there. I didn't know this was what I was going to talk about, but obviously it's something that's on my mind. And I just wish there was a simple way. And a lot of people are very good at giving advice. I'm just very bad at taking advice. So, but try anyway. Scarborough Dude. Signing off.